Right now, we're taking your phone calls, as we do before every game on our Blue Jay Day pregame show. Sean Camp is our guest, and give us a call at 416-870-0590. Star 590 on the cell. Long distance is 1-888-666-0590 for your opportunity to talk to one of the longest serving members of your Toronto Blue Jays. He has been a Jay for 4 seasons, though he is facing free agency this year. And Sean Camp joins us now. And first of all, Sean, thanks for taking time out. We really do appreciate all you guys in your off season, where you gear down and kind of take it easy, especially in October, coming on the radio with us. So we appreciate your time a great deal.
Hey, Mike, how are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm good. No problem. No problem at all. I'm happy to do it. I've been sitting back and watching these first 2 games, and I think I've taken more pleasure out of watching Zepchinski and Dotel come in and pitch, and they've just been doing a tremendous job ever since they went over there. So, it's going to be exciting. It's going to be an exciting series. So, But thanks for having me on.
Oh, well, it's a pleasure. As far as that Blue Jay connection, you know, we watched Sean Markham pitching for the Milwaukee Brewers. We saw, of course, Doc for the Phillies, and now it's Zepp and Dotel. And really, the two of them have been just absolutely huge. And it's almost as though those two guys were made for Tony La Russa. Even though Zepp is a guy who's perfectly capable of getting out right-handed hitters, and he's not one of those typical lefty specialists, Dotel is more your typical specialist, where he is just murder on right-handers. And it's like Tony La Russa can't help himself. He's got these two great toys he's got to play with all the time.
Yeah, they're it's always been said about Zepchinski. You know, I mean, as long as he's able to throw strikes, he's going to be a pretty lethal weapon. I don't think it really matters righty lefty. When he's hot, you know, you just got to ride him. Whether it's multiple innings, back to back to back days, he's kind of got a rubber arm, so he can pretty much go for you all the time. And he's got a good tempo going. You know, I see him pitch, and he's relaxed, and you know, he's settled into that situation, which is good to see. I've seen times when he struggles, just when he just gets kind of too intense, too tight. And I think I overheard somebody saying the other night during the game that La Russa has this thing with him just to stay relaxed. I think one of the commentators was saying it. And you can't speak enough for Dotel. I mean, just the way he's come, you know, as he always has. But he's just a guy who just is happy-go-lucky all the time. And I think, you know, pressure never gets to him. So it's great to watch those guys pitch and, you know, be effective as they are. And, like you said, Mike, I don't blame La Russa for running them out there every night. They look sharp right now, and it's good to see.
They really do, and they've both been terrific. And I'm wondering for you as a reliever, you kind of look back and watch with pride here, not just the two of them, but the fact that both in both league championship series, the bullpens outpitched the rotations, and both the Rangers and Cardinals bullpens pitched more innings than their starters did over the course of those 6-game series. Really, it's almost as though things have kind of turned around. Starters aren't going 5, but they're being picked up by brilliant relief work from pretty much everybody.
Yeah, I think it makes it probably, I mean, obviously, I'm not a manager, and those decisions are very tough to make. But, you know, it makes your game plan seemingly a little bit easier when you can go to guys so early. And, you know, I mean, Pat Henkin, you know, I had a great time working with him this year. You know, and he obviously pitched in 2 World Series. And, he told me that, you know, pitching, when you get into the playoffs, you get in October, pitching wins the games, and that's what, you know, that's what you see. I mean, Texas's offense is outstanding. And I think I was hearing them say they were 1-for-14 with guys in scoring position. I mean, those pitchers are coming out of the bullpen for both teams are pretty lights out. So, it's just going to be a situation where as long as these bullpens are hot and these starters are giving them quality, you know, whether it's 4, 5, 6 innings, I mean, it's going to come down to those last couple innings. I mean, the other night you didn't want to get up and get away from the television. It was funny because me and Casey Jansen were talking on the phone back and forth texting when Zepp was in there, and you know, we were just basically saying, gosh, man, I mean, how awesome would it be to be in that situation? But it's fun to watch.
With Sean Kemp, and phone lines are open, 416-870-0590, star 590 on the cell, long distance, 1-888-666-0590. We've got Sean for the first half of the program, and then Mark Tian will be joining us for the second half of the program. And there's a guy you played with for about 6 weeks. But did you two play together in Kansas City too?
Tell
us a little bit about Tian, because we really didn't get to see him much.
He's probably the funniest guy you will ever have in your clubhouse. He's a genuine guy. You know, I played with him back in 04 and 05 in Kansas City. And, you know, he's just a great guy to be around, just a great teammate, just a guy you can always approach. And nobody has a bad thing to say about him. It's one of the things when I heard he was coming over, I was excited. When I first heard Edwin Jackson's name, I was excited to play with him. But Tian is just a guy who comes to the field every day ready to play. He's got a lot of power, and he's got a lot of tools. You know, unfortunately, he didn't get a chance to play much. You know, he had that superstar in front of him, Lowry. But he's a good guy to be around, and I just can't say enough good things about him.
We are with Sean Kemp. Before we get to a couple of the calls, your future is I guess in your own hands right now. You're eligible for free agency, and but we see how the off season plays out there. It's your first real big crack at free agency, which doesn't come to a lot of guys as they're approaching their 36th birthday. What do you see going on this off season?
I have no idea. Really, I truly couldn't tell you. I just. You know, my focus was to finish the season strong and let the rest take care of itself. I've enjoyed my time in Toronto. Obviously, it's been a great 4 years. I've been around some terrific guys. The coaching staff has been terrific, and the upper management. You know, I can't say enough about Alex. He's the one that brought me over in 08, and gave me a job that off season. And I came in spring training, didn't make the team. I called up early and. I was fortunate enough to be around Bruce Walton, our pitching coach. He taught me a lot of things. I grew up in that organization with a lot of great bullpen guys I play with. But, to tell you the truth, Mike, I really don't know. My focus, like I said, was to go home this offseason, spend some time with my family, and just, really get to know my kids, a lot better. And this game takes you away from your family a lot. I felt great. Like I said at the end of the year, I felt like I could pitch to November. My arm felt great. My body felt great. It's a shame it came to an end this fast. But it's like one of those things, when you get in a rhythm as a pitcher, you want to go out there every day. And that's how I felt.
And you really did hit your stride at the end of the season. I mean, easily September was your best month of the year. You were looking at those numbers. The ERA was under one, although that's kind of tough for a reliever because you never know what situation you're going to be put in. But a whip of 0.8, one run allowed in 9 2/3 innings. You talk about finishing strong. That's about as strong a finish as you can finish.
Yeah, it was. It was, I had that mid-season rut. I think I can go all the way back to that Cleveland game. When I pitched an inning of 30, you're up six runs. It just kind of dampers your ERA a little bit. But, things have its way of working themselves out. You just got to be positive, and good things will happen. And, if you'd have told me, you'd asked me 6 years ago if I ever thought this day was coming where I'd be a free agent. Who could ever predict that? But, I've been around some good people. I love Toronto. Would I love to come back there? Absolutely. But, It's a situation where, I'm a free agent and we'll see what happens.
With Sean Kemp, and he's taking your phone call, so let's get to him at 416-870-0590, star 590 on the cell, and long distance, 1-888-666-0590. Spencer is in Orillia. Spencer, say hello to Sean Kemp.
Hi, Sean. I'd like to ask you what your season highlight was this year, if you had one.
It actually came at the end of the year. It was you know, I don't think he was necessarily a statistical highlight, but it's kind of it's a home joke. My son was all upset one day, and he didn't want the dad to go to the ballpark. And I said, I promised him I'd get a win. And sure enough, we were playing Anaheim, and I came in the game late in the game, and you know, Eddie Encarnacion hit that walk-off homer. And I had to go get the ball for him, so I had to go back out on the field and get the ball from the guy. And I came home and I gave it to my son. And I said, "Son, I told you I'd get you the game, I'd get you a win today." And it just happened to be that way. That's probably my highlight. But it was just kind of one of those little emotional things.
That's kind of awesome, actually. It's too bad you didn't promise to like hit a pinch hit grand slam or something.
Yeah, it happened to work out. It happened to work out that way. So.
Spencer. There you go, Spencer. The walk-off home run, in the last home game of the season, and it was a really special way to finish, and it was kind of an appropriate way to finish. And you know, the Blue Jays were 11-0 in extra innings at home, and a lot of that is a credit to you guys in that bullpen for keeping those games so close for so long to allow the team to come back. I mean, you look at these the extra inning games, the Brett Laurie walk-off, you pitched the 11th inning in that game and you got the win. You saved one of the extra inning games that they won on the road in Cleveland. You got the win in another walk-off against the Orioles. You did a lot of pitching late in those games when you go backwards in the bullpen and use up the Frankie Franciscos and Casey Jansons of the world in the eighth and ninth. It's a big credit to all you guys back there.
Yeah. It's like I tell the young guys that come up in the pen, you know, you just got, you have to, you know, obviously when you see the setup guys and you can see the Jansen go in and you see Frankie go in, you just never know. You know, I always tell them, you got to get your game ready. You know, you never know what's going to happen. And I've seen some pretty things go the right way and some pretty things go the wrong way. And I think, you know, John Farrell spoke on it before. You know, when we had extra innings or late in the game, at home especially, you could just feel the energy in our team, that we had that confidence, that swagger, that we knew we were going to, you know, something good was going to come out of it. And it did, you know. And I think when you get a lot of guys like that believing in themselves, and it carries on, and hopefully it will continue to carry on.
You've been with the Blue Jays for 4 years. You've been on a team with the Jays that had a losing record only once. And it's always seemed like things have been moving in the right direction lately. Last year, 85 wins. This year, 81. But the way things developed, I mean, it's almost, you can almost look at it as like this team, despite the fact that it was four games worse in the standings, this was a better collection of players than last year's team.
Yeah, I think, you know, I said this, I touched on this at one point during the season. I think that, we play the teams tough. I know that in the 4 years I've been here, I don't think there's been one game against the Yankees that we haven't gone in and challenged them. And I think that on the flip side of that, I think that they are aware of that. We play them well. You know, we play Boston well. We've played Baltimore well, statistically wise. But I think that we, as a team collectively, we just have to beat the teams that we need to beat. I don't want to say on paper, but because every team in the major leagues is good, and they all have, you know, ways of beating you. But I think that in our division, you have to, you know, you go heads up so many times. You look at Tampa, you know, they always seem to beat the teams they need to beat. And then they go up head-to-head at the end of the year against the teams in their division they got to catch. And that's what happened this year. But, you know, collectively as a group, you can see everyone growing. You know, JP and CB came in this year at the beginning of the year. He had a lot of weight on his shoulders. He had to learn an entire pitching staff, and he did a tremendous job. And as a bullpen guy, you know, it's hard to come in the game and really, work with him in a sense to get on the same page. But he just did a tremendous job handling the staff. You know, he had a relationship with everyone. He's a great guy. He's a great player, and I think he's only going to get better, and the sky's the limit for him. And then you got a Lowry that came up, and just, my gosh, just what a spark plug he is, and just an unbelievable player. I remember two double play balls he made for me. that were just, you know, it saved my tail and it saved the game. And he's just that kind of guy. I mean, I remember in spring training this past year where he booted one and he came across the field and said, "Hey, the next one I'm going to get." And sure enough, the next inning went out, it was a double play ball, and he made a diving catch and made it turn two. That's just the kind of guys you have in the clubhouse in Toronto. And it would just be great to see him, you know, to see his, you know, push forward and next year.
We're with Sean Kemp and one hopes, and we certainly do, because, you know, what you've contributed to this team in the last 4 years really can kind of go unnoticed, but you're certainly a very important piece. So we kind of hope things continue with you as a part of it, because this bullpen is changing and kind of it's been really fluid this year. We talk about Zepp and Dotel, who are in St. Louis now, but you lost a lot of guys and you added a lot of guys and some interesting people at the end of the year. Joel Carreño, for one, was phenomenal. And a lot of people are kind of buzzing a little bit about Chad Beck. Do you like what you've seen with the new guys who've come in to replace everyone who'd been moved out?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. I mean, you see, you know, every guy that comes up, you see, has got a lot of potential. You know, you saw that, you know, just touching that on the bullpen, you saw that in Henderson Alvarez. The guy's got lightning stuff. You flip it over the bullpen, you see guys come up with live arms, you know. And it's like, these guys ask you questions. You've been around a while, you know, they'll ask me questions. And it's, you know, like a Chad Beck, you take, and, you know, obviously plus fastball. You know, the conversation I have with him are just, you know, everybody up here can hit 95. Everybody can hit 96. It's location, rotation. It's learning hitters before they learn you, and just, you know, and always trying to be a step ahead of them. And this division, if you set back just a bit, or in this league, if you set back just a bit, you know, they'll take advantage of you in a heartbeat. And I think it's just, you want to see these guys. They're young. Obviously, the guys I played with before, you know, you had guys with more, I don't want to say more time, but more status. And they, you know, they knew how to get through pieces of the inning and stuff like that. But, you know, they got great arms. But there is, you know, there's a fine line between a great arm and pitching with success, and that's the thing that needs to carry over with these guys. And I remember a long time ago, I played with a guy, Curtis Loscanic, and told me, you know, your first couple of years is a game of checkers. Your next couple is a game of chess. So it's something that's always stuck out in my mind. And but you know, you'd like to see him, come in next year and have that fire in him.
First time I've heard that. That's good stuff. I might have to use that.
Yeah.
With Sean Kemp, back to the phones we go. Liz in Toronto, say hello to Sean.
Hi, Sean.
Hey, Liz. How are you?
I'm good. Good. I just wanted to wish you a good off season. Also, to see if you went hunting with Brett Cecil. I know you talked about going to do that.
No, I think I told somebody. I don't think I'll be going hunting with Brett. I love him to death. but he's in a different state, and I don't know. I don't remember what's going on with Brett, but some crazy things can happen. But no, I spoke with him, and he went on a hunting trip with his father-in-law. He went without me, so he bailed on me. I actually just saw him at Jonathan Diaz's wedding, and. Anyway, he was telling some stories about it, but no, I don't think I'll be going hunting with him.
All right, Sean, have a great off season.
All right, thanks, Liz.
Thanks for the call, Liz. And hunting with Brett Cecil. Let's talk about Brett Cecil for a second, because Brett Cecil had a very weird year, 4-11 this year, but his ERA was only a half run higher than it was last year when he won 15 games. His WHIP was exactly the same. He gave up a few more home runs, and he didn't get as much run support, and that seemed to be the real difference. It looked to me like in the early part of the season, before he went back down to Vegas, he was battling himself more than anything, and his frustration with a little bit of a dip in velocity that, to me, didn't seem as important as his frustration with it was. But he rebounded really nicely when he came back. I don't want to say it was more bad luck for him than anything else that was the difference between last year and this year, but it really felt like it played a large part.
Yeah, I think with I think, you know, obviously you touched on just now, Mike, bad luck. You know, the season is dictated based on just a little bit of obstacles as far as, I mean, it's a long season. And, you know, I mean, you could go out there and pitch and give up line drives, and the box score doesn't say anything. You can give up ground balls or fly balls that, you know, drop in or get through the hole. Or but I think with Brett, it's tough as a starter. I've never been a starter in the big leagues, but it's you know, it's tough, that transition, like I'm saying. He's seen so many, you know, he's a young guy who's pitched a lot at this level. And, you know, guys have seen him. I think guys have made maybe some adjustments on him. So when he went down, I think it was the best thing for him because he was able to go down and clear his head a little bit and kind of get away from the spotlight. And then when he came back up, he pitched sensational. But, you know, he kind of goes unnoticed a lot because, you know, he's not you know, but you know, Ricky is obviously our ace, and you know, Morrow is a strikeout guy and whatever. But Brett, you know, he's the kind of guy that keeps, when he's going good, he's as good as anyone. He keeps you in the game, he throws strikes, and I think I'm excited for him this offseason because I think that a lot of times when you go home in the offseason and you've kind of got your butt kicked a little bit, and you've had some success and you've had some non-success in that season, you go home and you kind of weigh those things, and then you got to have a fresh season. So when you go into next year, you have this complete mindset of, hey, that's last year's over. I learned from my mistakes. I know what I did wrong. I know what I did right. I see what they did off me that they did well and things I did off them that they did well. And I remember when I was talking to Pat Hinken, and we were talking about it, and, I mean, you watched Tom Glavine pitch for a long time, and this guy just commanded, and nobody has better command than Brett. I mean, he commands the ball as well as anyone. And when he's down, he's fine. And, you know, I think for the most part, I think he had a long talk with Pat, and I'm not saying that's why exactly how he went into that whole thing. I know he made some big adjustments with Pappy, and he was able to pitch well. You know, I'm just excited for Brett. I'm a big Brett Cecil fan, and I think the city of Toronto should embrace a guy like that just because he is a hard worker inside, and he really cares about pitching.
With Sean Camp, and I want to ask you about a couple more things before I let you go and we turn it over to Mark Tian for the second half of the program. But you mentioned about luck. We're talking about bad luck here, and I want to know, can you put it out of your head? I mean, I know relievers have to have the short-term memory and all that stuff, but if you come into a game in a big situation with runners on base and you get your ground ball, but it's not hit in the right spot and it bleeds through, or, you know, something like that.
I gave up a lot of those this year.
Can you say to yourself, you know what? I went in there, I got my ground ball. That's the best I can do. And whatever else happens is out of my hands. Are you with me? Did we lose Sean? We seem to have lost Sean. Oh, we're trying to reconnect with Sean. We have reconnected with Sean. I don't know what happened there, but the question was, I got my ground ball, not saying the guys behind me screwed it up, but the best I can do is get my ground ball in that situation, and you can kind of be satisfied with that.
I think the best part of it is a good question. It's a great question. I think the best part, as I was touching on earlier, you know, I think I had more ground balls this year than I had last year, and I had a better season last year. There was a lot of balls that went through, and you have to have short-term memory. That's the biggest thing. And if you're making quality pitches and they're hitting ground balls, you're making your pitches. But it's like I've tried to talk to other ground ball pitchers about it. Pretty soon they're going to start going to guys, and it's like a 2-for-1 special. That's the best way to say it. Mm-hmm. If I go out and give up a ground ball single, I got to believe that I'm going to give up another ground ball. If I give up another ground ball, I'm going to try to get another ground ball. So one pitch, you got two outs. So you know, and then it's just all about battling to get out of that inning. So to answer your question, I mean, do I have short-term memory when it comes to just making pitching ground balls and having a short-term memory? Yeah, I have to believe I have to. It's frustrating at times. Now, if I'm going out there and giving up just seeds, you know, it's a little different. But I think that was a big part of it in September. I think it just kind of went that way. I was giving up ground balls that were kind of being hit to guys, and they were able to make the plays. So, but I hope I answered that question as best I could.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And you're right. Your ground ball percentage, your ground ball to fly ball percentage was better this year than it was last year. Your ground out to air out ratio was better this year than it was last year. And that's kind of
because I remember looking at, I think we had all this video stuff, and I remember looking at one point, and this is before, I think middle August, I had like 112 ground balls. And I'm like, man, where are these numbers coming from? You know, as far as averages and stuff. But, you know, I mean, your job is to make a pitch, and you know, you can't dictate where it goes after that. You just make a quality pitch, and you got to believe it's going to be hit to somebody.
You've inspired me to look something up. Because now I'm interested in this because I want to know what happened last year on the ground balls you gave up. Last year, opponents hit 186 against you when they hit ground balls. This year, let's take a look and see if it's drastically different. 215 against you. So, yeah, 30 points higher in batting average on ground balls one year to the next, and that's nothing but where the balls hit, the ground ball that sneaks through. Wow.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Sean, again, appreciate your time. And as I do with everybody, before I let you go, I try to find a stat in your season that you may not have known about, but will make you happy about what happened in this past year. And it's interesting to look at how you did in certain situations with runners on base. First of all, with runners on third and less than two outs, you held the opposition to a batting average of .208. But more importantly, with the bases loaded, you faced 18 hitters with the bases loaded this season, and you gave up three hits. So they hit .167 off you, a couple of singles and a double, and an opponent's OPS of under .400 with the bases loaded, which is just a tremendous tremendous job coming through in a situation where really there's nothing you can do. You got nowhere to hide. You can't pitch around anybody. You got to go right after guys. So congratulations. That's a heck of a job this season.
Well, thank you so much, Mike. You guys have a great off season.
You too. And hopefully we get to see you in Dunedin. If not, I'm sure we'll get to talk to you with whatever your next landing place is. Sean, always, always a treat, and we really appreciate it.
All right, Mike, give Mark a hard time for me.
Will do. That's Sean Kemp.